I invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to turn to Ephesians, turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be back in Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8. What a great, great chapter. We'll look at, Lord willing, next Lord's Day and see the miracle. If you're looking at Nehemiah 8, well, let's just chase a little rabbit. You'll come away more grateful than ever for the blessing it is that we have God's Word. We have Bibles. It's a blessing that we have Bibles. So when I say turn in the Scriptures to Ephesians 2, but we're stepping away from Nehemiah for one Sunday. Make sure we get the gospel right. And thinking about where we are here at the end of a year, and Lord willing, embarking on a new year. And by the way, if I'm looking for Judy McCall. For those of you that keep up, I never, or seldom, preach a passage two times. But in May 2007, when I came to many of you in view of a call, and you voted on me that Sunday, I preached this passage. How about that? That's throwing it way back. May of 2007. So don't get up and go, I remember that, because I restudied. And by the way, I'm going to focus today on our purpose, so is where I'm going, which is in Ephesians 2:10. But if you're keeping up, I have preached this one time before in May of 2007. Thank you for the privilege of calling me to be your pastor then. It has been a glorious, glorious journey. And I'm very, very thankful. And so I was looking over those notes. I have that sermon and the introduction, and I was, wow. I was like, man, there's a lot of sweet memories between then and now. But make sure we get the gospel right. And so I want you to think about it. I love how in the business world, how if you're a bookkeeper, you know, you close books, and we'll be doing that here in the office, and open the books, close out a year, open up a year. And then the performance management process, you would sit down. I would sit down with the people that reported to me, and I would, and the one I reported to, and I would evaluate their performance. Like, hey, you're doing great in these areas. We need to improve in these areas. And this idea of getting some closure and, listen, setting new priorities. And so, yes, you can be the cynic and say, well, a new year is just another day. And I'm like, well, okay. Yeah, but I also think there's an opportunity there. And so I want us to think about this as we think about the priority of getting the gospel right. And I mean, certainly, and this is where you think I'm going primarily, and it is the most important matter in the whole world. There are no second chances as it relates to salvation. If you played golf with my daddy, and I did a lot. Some of you did. You got a mulligan every nine holes. How many of you know what a mulligan is? You know, I'd hit that thing and it would go over there and crash into somebody's house. And be like, let's forget that one. Forget that one. Drop another ball and hit it. And we wouldn't even count the one that was over. And people were over there angry. You know, you broke something. We gave mulligans generously. And you could get a do-over. I remember one of my first jobs, I worked for one summer. I was a young lad, and I worked for Herndon Electric, an electrical contractor here in town. At the time, Mr. Glenn Herndon, he was kind enough to hire me, and we were building. How many of you know where that hotel is behind Outback Steakhouse? Right behind Outback, we were building that. We were doing the electrical work on that. And my job as a young, he was crazy to hire me, I'm sure. But as a young employee, I was supposed to put up all the lights in those rooms. And I remember those light fixtures I installed with toggle bolts, but I had never worked with toggle bolts before. And I put them in backwards. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so as I tightened them, all those lights just pulled out of the what? Just pulled out of the wall. I know how to work a toggle bolt now, guys. I have my man card on toggle bolts. I'll help you if you don't. But I did a whole floor's worth of those lights with the toggle bolts backwards. Now, if you go stay there tonight, no, I went back and redid them all the right way. I got a do-over. And though, I want you to hear this. As it relates to salvation, there are no do-overs. As it relates to eternity, there are no do-overs. And you're going to see in Ephesians 2 this morning, as it relates to living for the purpose for which Christ has died, for us to fulfill our purpose, there are no do-overs. And I think there'll be a lot of people, I really do, I think there's a lot of people, maybe present company, we could be, that their salvation is secure in Christ, but maybe we're living far short of the purpose for which Christ has died, what he has secured for us. So Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, let me just give you a little bit of context and then we'll get to it. It's one of Paul's prison epistles, prison letters. He was in prison when he wrote it. He wrote from Rome. And by the way, it's a little bit unique as far as Paul's letters is compared to oftentimes he's combating a particular problem in the church. Not so much the case here, but he's writing to, listen, expound on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You sort of divide the book in general to say, two parts, chapters 1 through 3, we would say heavy theological, here's who Jesus is, here's what Jesus has done. And then chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians, here's how you live it out. Here's how you live out the gospel. And so we want to make sure, we want to take inventory, we want to do a year-end appraisal. We want to make sure we get the gospel right. And the gospel is all about Jesus. I love this. During a 1962 U.S. tour, he was in New York City, but a seminary student asked the famous Swiss theologian, Dr. Karl Barth. He was the author of the huge work, Church Dogmatics, and asked him to, if he would, summarize his entire theological contributions, all of his theological study into one sentence. Could he do that? And Barth thought for a minute and he responded and he said, yeah, I can do that in the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee. And this was his summary. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're going to sing that right after this. Boys and girls, y'all be ready to sing out. And old folks like me, y'all, but let's be ready to sing out. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's what the gospel is about, as you're going to see. So Ephesians 2, if you're able, would you stand as I read our passage? I'll start in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, and we'll go down to verse 10. The word of the Lord. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you that you have spoken, and Lord, your word is the authority. Your word is true, Lord, is true whether people believe it or not, and we certainly believe it, and we testify to its power, its sufficiency. We thank you that your word so clearly reveals Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and we pray this morning, God, that your Spirit, that he would apply your word to our hearts, Lord, that you would make whatever necessary adjustments need to be made in our lives. Lord, pray that we would know Christ savingly, Pray that we would be known by him. Pray that we would live for the purpose, God, that you have prepared even beforehand for us, that we would walk in that. And thank you for how you've been so good to this church, Lord. Thank you that we are a bride of Christ, a blood-bought bride of Christ. Thank you for the good work you're doing in your church. Thank you for the fruit you're bearing, and pray that you would move us, Lord, from where we are to where you'd have us to be. Pray you would energize, Lord, our complacency or any apathy that we have, and pray that we would hunger and thirst, Lord, for you. And so, Lord, we ask you to work mightily today for your glory, for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just 3 points as we work through the passage. Make sure we get the gospel right, and very familiar passage to likely to many of us. Number one, let's get to it. Recognizing our old address should keep us humble. Recognizing our old address should keep us humble. I like to think of this 1 through 3, you could think of as our old address. 4 through 6 would be our new address, who we are in Christ. And then 7 through 10 would be our purpose. But so let's look at this. Recognizing our old address should keep us humble. That should keep us humble. Christians, we should be, I oftentimes say, we should be the most grateful people in all the world. We should be the most humble people in all the world. And so if we think about our problem, Scripture is very, very honest about it. Look there at verse 1. Here's our problem. Our problem is not that we are sick. And you, now he's writing to who? Well, look at Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints, to save people, to Christians who are at Ephesus. And you, all you saints. So let me just mark this morning because I want to be really, really clear. I'm preaching this assuming that I'm preaching to saints, saved people, people that are in Christ. That's who Paul's writing to. And if you're not in Christ, you don't tune us out. Stay with us. But saved people, all you saved people, all you people who know Jesus, you people who are born again, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We oftentimes, especially the longer we have been saved, we lose sight and lose touch with what we were saved from. Have you noticed that sometimes, especially if we get inner focused as the church of God, we start seeing sin, and particularly seeing sinners as almost like foreign, and we lose sight. Paul helps us this morning. That's our old address. You believers, me and you, we were dead, not sick. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Look at this. It permeated our life, our spiritual condition. We were dead, and look at, we lived like dead people, in which you formerly walked. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Look, we walked. How did we walk? According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So we were dead. We were walking according to the world. We followed Satan. We were disobedient children. Now that's a great reminder. That should evoke humility. And we can read it the wrong way. Here would be the wrong way, is to just almost challenge to push back on that. But we lean into that. We were, before God's grace came into our life, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now that should do at least 2 things for us. That should make us humble on the great work of salvation that God has done in our lives. And listen, that ought to make us zealous to make Jesus known to people who likewise are dead in their trespasses and sins. Dead people act how? Dead. And we sometimes, we almost expect people, right? We have a short fuse that like, hey, this unbeliever over here, why is he acting so lost? Well, Paul's helpful here. You were dead. And by the way, it speaks of the great work that we're going to talk about in just a minute as we go on into the passage, that God has done this work he's done in us in our salvation. But when we read that, we say you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Now, compared to God's standard, and that's the only standard that matters, I'm not saying that we're as evil as we could be. Praise the Lord for that. So God's restraining grace restrains the evil. But in God's eyes, listen, we were dead. This is oftentimes a hard truth for Americans to hear. We like to compare ourselves to those around us. So, and by the way, it's a universal condition. Look at verse 3. Our old address. Look at this. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. I remember a lady one time got very angry at me. I referenced this passage in preaching one time, and I talked about how we all are evil, wicked, immoral people at our core. She took offense to that. She didn't see herself as evil, wicked, or immoral. Well, she's got an argument with the Bible. That's who we were before God rested. That's who you were. He's trying to offend somebody this morning. I really don't want to, but I want to look. Look, put your verse 3. Among them we too. What follows after the two? All. Formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You know what I stepped on in her life? Her pride. And this whole point is about our humility, recognizing our old address should keep us humble. And by the way, this is a terrifying thought, y'all. We were by our very nature children of wrath. We're standing awaiting God's wrath. Listen to what Paul said also in Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We fall short. So this first point, make sure we get the gospel right. You got to start with the bad news. Recognizing our old address should keep us humble. And our previous condition was that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. By the way, that is biblical language. And let me tell you, we could just pause right there and say, thank you, Lord, that you have made us dead people alive. Praise the Lord for what God has done. So recognizing our old address should keep us humble and patient, patient, patient with those people that maybe live under our roof. Maybe there are people that live under your roof that don't know the Lord. Maybe those people you interact with at work. Maybe those people you enjoy hobby time with, and you say in the back of your mind, and maybe they're just flamingly lost. Just keep the gospel in mind. We were too. That's our old, we all have the same old address. All believers have the same old address. Now, second point applies to believers too. Recognizing how God has saved us should make us grateful. Recognizing how God has saved us should make us grateful. If recognizing our old address should keep us humble, recognizing how God has saved us should make us grateful. So Paul's going to tell us, here's our testimony in verse 4. Here's our testimony. Verses 1 through 3 is what we were saved from. That's who we were, old address. And so here's the testimony. So many times people say, hey, come up and tell your testimony. And by the time you get through, it's like, hey, that dude just really, I think he missed his testimony. He thinks there's something good in him. Paul says, here's how it goes down for saved people. Verse 4. But God, look at this, I love that. What a contrast. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Last word in verse 3, we were by nature children of wrath. And by the way, that is a big camp of humanity, even as the rest. But look, God, but God being rich in mercy. So the initiative was all God, but God, his initiative, his power, but God being rich in mercy. Mercy. I mean, he's just piling up the superlatives here. God being rich in mercy, this active being rich in mercy, our sin debt is objective and real. God couldn't just overlook it because God is just and his mercy is him paying the debt on our behalf. So, but God being rich in mercy. Aren't you grateful? What if it said, but God delighting in wrath? But God being rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. I love that he comes back and makes that ironclad. God in his mercy. Lamentations 3, verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. So here's the gospel. We're humble, recognizing, right, our old address, but listen, we ought to be grateful, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he, look, he, his initiative, him doing the loving, the great, his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, in our dead state, he came to save us. Look, he, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. God in Christ, and by the way, it's just over and over and over. Look at this, how grounded in Christ the gospel is. I told you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So it's all about Jesus. Verse 5, it's that we have been made alive together with Christ. Look at verse 6. We've been seated in the heavenly places, look, in Christ. Look at verse 7. That he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Yes, over and drop down to verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And God in Christ, because he is merciful, not because we are worthy, not because we are noble, not because he saw some inherent good in us, not because he looked across the horizon of history and saw who would pick him. No, no, no. Because of his grace and his mercy and his love, he has saved a people. It is all of his doing from beginning to end. So he gets all the what? All the glory. I love this. But God, and God is rich in mercy, and God is the one who initiates love, and he knew the truth about us even when we were dead in our transgressions. Look what he accomplished. I love this, the language of this verse. He made us alive together with Christ. Praise the Lord. By grace you have been saved. I know you hear me say this a lot. You ought to hear me say this a lot. By grace you have been saved. That means salvation that comes to a person is always passive to that person. Salvation is something that outside of you and me that happens to us by divine initiative and power. By grace you have been saved. It's a bad analogy, but it's one that comes to mind. I don't have time for a better one. If you run out in front of a car, you will get run over by the car, right? You didn't do the running over. The car did what? Don't do that, by the way. Just got to give that disclaimer. Don't run out. You were hit by the car. The car was active. You were what? It happened to you. I love this. By grace, you have been saved. And we like to say salvation is this, activity that God does and we do. I'm going to tell you, that's offensive to the gospel. Make sure we get the gospel right. By grace, you have been saved. It is all of God's doing, beginning to end. Verse 6, not only has God made us alive with Christ, but look at our position now. He's raised us up with him. By the way, this is why baptism is so important. This is, Logos Baptist Church. And it's not that we put it in our name that makes it important. It's that God put it in the Bible. If you are in Christ, you are buried right? When you go under that water, you identify with Christ. You're showing people what's happened to you. So you get up here and you say, I want you to know I'm showing y'all that I'm now a follower of Jesus. And so you identify with Christ, and then you get buried with Christ, right, when you go under the water, and then you get raised up with him. That's the picture of that. And look, here's our position. We're seated with him, with Christ, in the heavenly places. And so this second point, recognizing how God has saved us, should make us grateful. The gospel is not due. The gospel is done. It's not due. So I want you to think about it. He's going to unpack it. Look at verse 7. So what's God's purpose in saving people? By grace, he's made us alive. God made us alive. God saved us by grace. Here's the purpose. Verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. We're grace trophies. I love this. Verse 5, by grace you have been saved. Verse 7, so that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, by grace you have been saved. Let me tell you, praise God for his amazing grace. How sweet the sound. When we've been there 10,000 years, it's God's grace. So that, look, the ages to come, God might show, he wants to show people how rich he is in grace. For by grace, now he's nailing down the second point. Recognizing how God has saved us should make us grateful. For by grace you have been saved. Look, something outside of you. Here's what secular counseling says. You pay me. What's the going rate? I don't know. I went to, took some folks to a biblical counselor one time. It was $90 for 50 minutes. The secular counselor's probably at least at $100 an hour. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to try to get you to do perpetual navel gazing, I call it. Look within. Let me tell you, if you start looking within, you're going to see a mess. You're going to see a hellion in there. Amen. Look within. You know, did your mama mistreat you? Probably not as much as she should have. Right? Yes. Then I was far worse to her. Did your daddy ever? Sometimes I thought it was abuse. No, he would whip me a lot, but I needed it more. Well, let's talk about your, you know, what about your wife? Does she measure up? And the people you work with? No. Here, we are the problem. The problem is in you and in me. And God comes in Christ to fix us from within. So by grace you have been saved. That's something that God out there did in us. Let me tell you, Jesus has transformed me. He's not finished. I love that. By grace you have been saved. Now, by the way, if God's made somebody alive and he saved them by grace, you think that can be undone? This is not some weak, willy-nilly salvation. If salvation could be lost, every human being that was ever saved would lose it. God's work cannot be undone. And our Bible says that God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, I told you I'm preaching to the saints at Lagos this morning. Let me just pause. Because hopefully we have some people here this morning that are not saints. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now here's the paradox. The Bible says that salvation is something that God does. If it's something that God does, then does it even matter what I do? Okay, stay with me in the passage. I told you, here we are at the last Lord's Day of this year, getting ready for a brand new year, Lord willing. And verse 8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. So God is sovereign in salvation. Wait, let me back up. God is sovereign in everything. If he's not sovereign in everything, then he wouldn't be God. Since he's God, he's sovereign. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. There's so much to say here. We could have just preached Ephesians 2:8. Maybe we should have done that. For by grace you've been saved through faith. So let me just tell you what the Bible also says clearly other places. These beautiful, non-competing, there's no tension here. I like what Spurgeon said when people asked him to try to reconcile human responsibility and sovereignty. He said, you know, how would you reconcile them? He said, those are two beautiful friends. Why would you try to reconcile friends? So God is sovereign, and God saves sinners by grace. He also, though, on the other hand, has made every one of us responsible through faith. And so here's what the Bible teaches. I'll apply it as we go. If you're in Christ this morning, you're one of the saints who are here at Logos this morning, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're not in Christ and you're a guest of ours, we're thrilled that you're here. We want you to just come back every Lord's Day. But here's what the Bible clearly teaches, that every sinner who will call on the name of the Lord to be saved will be saved. If you will turn from your sin and yourself, if you will repent, go in a different direction. I don't mean just like, I do that and going to add you. No. If you'll come before the Lord honestly, in repentance, and you will place your faith in Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior and Lord on the authority of the Word of God, God will save you. Isn't that beautiful? And then for saved people, sometimes, did you ever hear this growing up? You get too big for your britches. We need to use, I like old sayings. I like old sayings. Son, you're getting too big for your britches. Doesn't have anything to do about your weight. It was your behavior. Well, Christians sometimes get too big for their britches. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 helps us look, because verse 8, we look around here and go, man, God's been good to us. Yes, he has. You know, we sort of were the A-team. I'm glad, aren't you glad God saw something good in us? You have not read the Bible. Dead. Wrath. Here's how we got here. What season's everything? This season's how we love Jesus and how we love each other. Y'all, we were dead. We were children of wrath, even as the rest. But God. But God being rich in mercy, not judgment, not wrath. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, y'all, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. And we drop down to verse 8. By grace you've been saved through faith. That is the human side. We place our faith in Christ alone. That's the means. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And look at this. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We just talked about Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas every Lord's Day because it's the greatest gift that's ever been given is Jesus. And salvation is given by God as a gift. Look at verse 9. Not as a result of works so that no one may boast. No works. The works that God has done in Christ, not as a result of works. Nothing in our hand we bring, simply to his cross we cling. Not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. What glorious truth here. Recognizing how God has saved us should make us grateful. So we want to get the gospel right. We want to be like, Lord, I want to have a proper understanding of what I was saved from. Help me not lose sight of who I was before you saved me. And God, when I think about my salvation, it's all about Jesus. It's all about your mercy and grace, that just because you loved me, you loved us, you have saved us. Praise the Lord. Lord, we want to be grateful. Third and finally, is recognizing God's purpose in saving us should motivate us to live joyfully for Jesus. Recognizing God's purpose in saving us should motivate us to live joyfully for Jesus. It's almost like to this point, it's a sermon introduction for sort of where I'm going thought-wise for Ephesians 2:10, that I do think there's a number of Christians that would track with, and by the way, we're intermittently all there, don't you think? That we get it in terms of our salvation, and then sometimes we lose sight. We get it in terms of our purpose, and we lose sight, but Lord, help us to lean in to our purpose. The third point, recognizing God's purpose in saving us should motivate us to live joyfully for Jesus. We hit purpose a little bit. I want to hit it mainly in verse 10, but I want to go back to verse 7. Why has God done all this? Why has God saved us? Well, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are grace trophies. You know, if you go into a man cave of a great hunter, you look around and guess what you see? You see his trophies, right? You're like, wow, well, tell me where'd you kill that? And then there's a story. Well, that's a sort of the picture. We're these wretched sinners that God has saved in Christ that tell the story of God's grace. So you go to work tomorrow and people are like, what in the world happened to that dude? Man, that's what Jesus can do. And by the way, that's why it's really good. Let's don't rehash that in a way that's not edifying, but it's really good for us to remember our old address. Because guess what? When we're talking to people that need Jesus, they need to see, look, I love this, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved. It's not something we've done. Drop down to verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Who? Go back to Ephesians 1:1. The saints in Ephesus. So saints, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And you all you believers, y'all, we know how to, right? Drop down back to Ephesians 2, verse 10. So we, Christians, we are his workmanship, his masterpieces. We're his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus. I love this. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Man, it's good theology here. Stay with me. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Every other religion says you can somehow be made right with God by good works. That will not fly. We are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. Look, we have been saved for a purpose, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And look, the deck is stacked. The game is fixed, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I love this. And by the way, I'll just say it like the thought comes to mind. It's because I'm not trying to get anybody to move to the mission field. So he's preaching about purpose this morning. And he, you know, and if we were traditional, we might go, hey, there's someone here maybe that God's moving on the heart to go to the nations. By the way, if God's calling you to the nations, we want to be part of seeing you go to the nations. But let me tell you, every Christian was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for a very specific, important, divine purpose. If you have the most mundane existence, I'm saying maybe you think that, you should be encouraged. Listen, saved people are God's masterpieces. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And look, God has already stacked the deck. The table's fixed, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this wonderful purpose that God has saved us for, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not by good works. So what, I'm so close to the finish line and on time. What are some of the good works? What does that look like? If we're God's workmanship, grace trophies, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we'd walk in them. See, here's what we'll do so many times. We'll be like, we'll close our Bible and say, let's think about what kind of purpose God has created. No. God has called us to faithfulness. Listen, faithfulness and obedience in the roles he's assigned us. So she sits close and she gets in trouble. But Stephanie, so here, Stephanie is called to be faithful as a Christian, as a woman, as a wife, as a mama, as a pharmacist, as a Lagos church member, at least in those six ways. Her purpose is to live for King Jesus in those six spheres. And when she does that, she's fulfilling the purpose that God said that he came to make her a masterpiece of grace. Change diapers for the glory of King Jesus. So we're like, well, hey, I need to quit. Don't quit being Christian, woman, wife, mama, church member. Don't quit doing any of those. I mean, unless the Lord leads. Don't quit on the wives, please, please. Don't. Right. But maybe he says, hey, don't be a pharmacist. You know, but I'm saying what we want to do is like, I need to go get equipped for something. No, we need to put our head down and be present where our feet are and live for Jesus. It's always easier. I think God's called me to some big ministry. No, he's called me to be a faithful Christian, man, husband, daddy, pastor, employee, right here, married to the right woman, father of the right children. By the way, when I start going, you know, if God had given, I just married the wrong woman. I'm not saying that. It's the illustration. But we do. We talk about all that. I'm in the wrong career. What career are you in? Be faithful in that career. Put your head down. Glorify Jesus. Do you see how we can do this? It's good. And so here's why I'm so excited about this sermon. I want to motivate us in this coming year to be faithful in the mundane things that bring maximum glory to God. Isn't that cool? He saved us. And by the way, little ones, taking care of little ones. I just remember that season. That can be a grind, can't it? Weary mother. There'd be a whole lot of things you could do easier than taking care of somebody that's got, you know, some little human that's got their days and nights mixed up. Well, here's what Scripture's got to say about that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. One of the greatest works you can do is love your husband and love those children. Wash those clothes. I'm serious. We start going, I need to go on a mission trip. Well, we want you to go on some mission trips. But I'm going to tell you, this is the will of God for every Christian. And I think a lot of Christians live way below the purpose for which Christ has died for us to live. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And look, God has already prepared them beforehand. So all we got to do is just like, hey, the game is fixed. Just go out on the field. We win. You just go do what I've already prepared you to do. And we're only going to do this. We're only going to want to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. You won't like set the alarm clock early enough to get enough human willpower to do this. It's going to take the third person of the Trinity. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So you know what I resolve by God's grace? I'll just personalize it. I resolve by God's grace that if God lets me see 2026, that I want to be faithful as God's workmanship, a grace trophy created in Christ Jesus to be a faithful, what did I say? Christian, man, husband, daddy, pastor, employee, brother, son, friend. I want to be faithful right in the wonderful place God has placed me for 2026. Isn't that glorious and good? So you need to do work that matters. Let me tell you, all work matters. It's the perspective of the one doing the work. It's not the work. Yeah, but you pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you, pastoring is no more important than being a plumber. Pastoring is no more glorious than being an engineer. Pastoring is no more, see, it's all what, and by the way, you know what? You can be a pastor for King Jesus, or you can be a pastor for yourself. Well, people in the ministry. No. I mean, we all, look, it's just beautiful and good. We, y'all, save people. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in. So when you clock in over there tomorrow at the hospital, Man, you're just like, oh, really? 12 hours? No, 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 no. Almighty God has acted in His mercy in Christ, pouring out His wrath on Christ to save us so you can go up in that hospital and represent King Jesus to the patients, to the employees, to difficult people. You can represent them and be what? A grace trophy. The power company. I just go on and on and on. So I'm done. I mean, almost done. Doing the word three ways, and I am done. Doing the word. Since life is really short, ensure you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Man, we plead with you. Since life is really short, ensure you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Second, thinking about Ephesians 2, verse 10. Since life is really short, reevaluate our priorities in light of the purpose Christ saved us for. Only, C.T. Studd, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Since life is really short, reevaluate our priorities in light of the purpose Christ saved us for. Is there any adjustments we want to make as we want to go into the new year? I mean, we'd sit down. So many times at Novartis, I'd sit down, hey, to hear what your, here's the goals and priorities for the next year. Do we feel good about our trajectory? You know, am I content that I'm living as grace masterpiece for King Jesus to the degree that I should, or do I need to make some adjustments? Since life is really short, reevaluate our priorities in light of the purpose Christ saved us for. Rest, third, rest in assurance, blessed assurance, rest in assurance in Christ. I'll just look at this two times and I'm going to pray. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God, what made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Drop down to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. Isn't that wonderful? Our greatest need, rest in assurance in Christ, God has met. And surely, folks that He has saved, we want to live for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you even as we study in your word that we'll sing in just a moment that Jesus loves us. Lord, we agree. We remember our old address. Lord, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Lord, if we're thinking when we read that, our hearts leap when we get to verse 4. What a curveball you throw, Lord. You didn't pour out your wrath, but you poured out your mercy and grace. But God, being rich in mercy, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your great love with which you loved us. Thank you that our salvation is accomplished in Christ. So your word tells us, Lord, that by grace we have been saved. Not that we hope we'll someday be saved. Maybe some people can be saved. But Lord, by grace in the past, Lord, we have been saved. We are saved people. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. We oftentimes, Lord, lose sight of our purpose. Thank you that you have saved us for a divine purpose. Lord, we are oftentimes the most discontented people in the world. We want to change our circumstances. We want to change our possessions. We want to change our relationships. And we jump here and there and everywhere. And so, God, help us to live faithfully where you've planted us for the purpose that you've called us to, and recognize that, Lord, if no one else ever sees or knows or cares, Lord, that you see and you will reward. So, Lord, encourage us in that. Help us to embrace our purpose. Lord, thank you that you have already prepared the way. Thank you for the good works that you prepared beforehand. Help us to represent Christ faithfully. Lord, help us to be a humble people. Help us to be patient with lost people. Help us to trust you and the power of the gospel, Lord. As you've saved us, you can save others. Help us to be the church, Lord, you've called us to be. Lord, we long for Logos's best days to be future, Lord, and Lord, to be, always be able to say that until Jesus comes. And so thank you for how you have been so good to us to this point, and pray you would remove, Lord, anything in us that hinders us from going forward to be the people you'd have us to be. And those areas where we're doing good things, Lord, that you would grow and affirm those areas, Lord. We love you. We praise you, God. We thank you. We worship you. Pray you'd move mightily, Lord, in your church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.